praise you, God our shield, God our all. We thank you, God our refuge and our fortress. Be lifted higher, be lifted higher.
Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. So like we've been saying, God not only saved you, but he gave you a new identity. With that new identity comes a new purpose. And our purpose is built and found in the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. Our community and coming together is found in the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. So if we read there from Matthew 16. So now Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" And they said to him, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, the book of Matthew is written by Matthew, the tax collector. He was one of the 12, and the audience was primarily Jewish Christians. And it was written to show the promised Messiah as per the Old Testament and to demonstrate that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But Jesus also called his followers, his disciples, to live in this new covenant. And to live in this new covenant community, the church. And in Matthew, this is part of, obviously, Matthew 13 to 17. It's part of what is called the turning point in the book of Matthew. Before that, Jesus was doing miracles and teachings, and people were speculating, who is this Jesus? And then in this part, Jesus' true identity is confessed by his disciples for the first time in the book of Matthew. And after his identity is confirmed, after this, his road to Jerusalem begins and the journey to the cross. So this is a part where his identity is shown and also his mission is made clear. So if we read that part, they came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. Now, that was a Gentile region and an area where there were a lot of idols being worshipped. And Jesus chose to ask this question in an area not where there were a lot of, it wasn't a Jewish area, but with an area surrounded by a lot of idols of the day. They were idols of Baal, idol called Pan, and then obviously one even for Caesar. So this was an area where people worshipped these idols. And in that place, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" He said, who do the people say the Son of Man is?" The Son of Man is a term used in the book of Daniel. So he asked them, and then they say, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So they were saying he's, some people out there, Jesus is saying that you are a prophet or a teacher of the law. And then he turned to them and he asked them, but who do you say I am? And for many of us, especially in a dualistic society where many of us grow up as Christian, we've gone to church for a lot of our lives, we know what the people around us say who Jesus is, or we have this perception that we know who Jesus is or who people said Jesus is. But the thing is, the way we answer who Jesus is has a direct effect on who we are, our identity, and would directly affect our purpose, our trajectory. Because if we say Jesus is a good teacher, or even if they said Jesus is a prophet, he spoke on behalf of God, but it doesn't mean we need to lay our lives down and follow him. And if we say Jesus is a teacher only, he was a teacher, but if we see him only as a teacher, then that means he has some great ideas, some worthy things to take note of, maybe some life hacks that would improve my life, make my life better. So who do you say is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life? And sometimes, like in this, Jesus didn't choose to ask that question in a safe environment. He asked it in an environment filled with idols, of foreign things, where God wasn't honored. And many times in our lives, Jesus would come and ask that of us in the times when we don't feel the most holiest we've ever been. Maybe we don't feel we're succeeding at life. But the way we answer it would affect how we go through whatever storm or environment we find ourselves in. Who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus someone that's good to honor? That maybe your spouse follows diligently and therefore you think it's obviously a good idea and being part of a social construct that we're in, or a subculture to follow Jesus in that way and go to church? Is he the one that the people at church speaks of often, a historical figure? Is Jesus a historical figure that you know a lot about? Maybe you even philosophize a lot about, think a lot about? Is he the genie in the bottle that you ask for when you run out of ideas? But as soon as your life starts feeling like it's on track again, you just go on with yourself. Is he a dialer buddy only in that sense? So he asked them and said, but who do you say I am? And then Simon Peter, he's the one that responded a lot on behalf of the others. Some say they discussed it among themselves. And he replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, your fleshly father. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood, what you have achieved through your life, your father's lineage, has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. See, you are a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We cannot follow Christ out of the flesh. We cannot recognize Christ out of the flesh. We cannot read all the books and then in our intellect put things together and then follow Christ. It's the Spirit of God that needs to reveal to us that he is the Christ. We cannot even intellectually recognize it. If we think of a verse I read out of Matthew 11, Jesus said He thanked the Father and he said, thank you, Father, that the wise and understanding, that they cannot grasp the things of the kingdom. He thanked him for this. And here we see that flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. We know that our flesh is at war with the things of the Spirit in Romans 8. You cannot please God in the flesh, in the attempts of the flesh. Even the good things, your good ambitions cannot please God. You cannot partner with God. See, Jesus doesn't need us to agree with him. He didn't say, I'm a good teacher and I will feel better if you agree with the things that I say. If you try to be a good Christian. He said, follow me. But you won't just follow a teacher. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he said, and I tell you, or Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you, Peter, I think it's Petros, stone, meaning of Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So Peter, it was his name, but it means little rock. You are Peter, little rock, and on this revelation that you had of who Christ is, I will build my church. I will build my church on the revelation of who I am. And like we saw in the previous verse, it cannot be revealed by flesh and blood. It cannot be revealed by us just doing a lot of things. It's revealed by the Spirit of God. So that's obviously where the Catholic Church also gets their doctrine for the popes, the papal concession, or that they see Peter as the rock. So they believe it meant Peter is the rock, and therefore he was the first pope, and from there it started. But we see here that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that he is referring to. Jesus will build his church on the revelation of who he is. He's not going to build his church on us, on leadership, on having amazing elders, having amazing deacons or directors of ministry, having amazing band, having amazing buildings. Jesus doesn't build his church on these man-made great structures. Like Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. We have obviously gone through a transition as a church, but even with all our great planning and strategic things and thinking what needs to happen, that is not what creates success in that way. That's not what's going to make us a church. It's us gathering as the church of Jesus, built on the revelation of who Christ is. It's us as a spiritual family. The church, if I hold it like this, I'm like a rapper, so I'll rather do this. wrong crowd. Sorry, Elsa, next time. maybe someday, who knows. So Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. See, he's the head of the body. He's the bride of the bridegroom, my church. It's not the elders' church, the pastor's church, shofar's church. It's my church. Jesus takes, I mean, to say he takes extreme ownership sounds like blasphemy, but I mean, it's fully his. He doesn't see it as something there, okay, you're playing church, and you're coming for my sake. It's my church. Church, ecclesia, the chosen ones, directly translated, the gathering of the believers. It's not this building. Church is not something we go to. It's part of who we are. We are chosen ones. Because we are believers, we are church. When you go to small group, you go to church. See, that's part of church. Small group is part of church. I will build my church. But we need to understand that it's not by flesh and blood. If we think of small group, it's not about your preferences. See, Jesus didn't say it's your small group. your way you want small group to happen, your preferences, where you want it, your type of people, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Jesus is building his church. Small group, it's a small church. It's a small gathering of believers. And it's not by flesh and blood that this gets to reveal to us. When we gather as small group, we're walking into that spiritual reality of what Jesus died for. See, his mission on earth is stated in this. See, Jesus came so that we may not die, may have life in him. But ultimately, it's to build his church. He says, and I will build my church. Building his church is his mission. And the church forms part of his mission of reaching the nations, of spreading the gospel, of getting people saved. But as the head of the church, as the head of the body, his mission and goal is to build the church. And as the body of Christ, we get to form part of that, each one of us. It's not Peter. Peter hasn't been elevated this morning now that he's an elder. He's still a body part of Christ, of the body of Christ. The other shared it at the staff meeting. What is church leadership? Are they the shepherds or the sheep? What would you say, Yaku? Shepherd or sheep? We do shepherding, but we are sheep. We're all sheep. And sometimes that gets lost, where we lift leaders up in a way and almost think that they're the shepherds. They have all the responsibility. Yes, leaders have a lot of responsibility. It doesn't negate any responsibility. But we are all the sheep. So beautiful, the worship band bringing the message of looking to Jesus. That could have been my message in other words. It's we all together look to Jesus. When we look at the mission of what God has saved us for, from Genesis, we see God's heart to save, to reconcile the world to himself, that we might have relationship with him. And like we shared last week, he doesn't leave it there in saving us, and then we go on with our own lives and try to find purpose and whatever balanced ideas we have. He, as sons, he draws us in to partake in his mission to reconcile the world back to him. We become, we've given the ministry of reconciliation after we've been reconciled. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He sends us out. We see this, we're saved, and then we're sent. That's how Jesus is building his church. I will build my church. And from that place, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church, the group of believers, you as a family that acknowledge and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and us together as a church, where we come together, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The attacks of the enemy will not prevail against it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot overcome it. The enemy cannot overcome the church of Christ. We see this when we go on missions. We see different churches in different places, complete different cultures. We cannot understand their culture, but they have the same spirit. We see them following Christ. We see how God is building his church, whether it's in Luxembourg, Sri Lanka, India, Burundi, Khayelitsha, even Namibia. Even Namibia. Amen. But it's because it's through the Spirit of God and not by flesh. Where we see the flesh take over, we see human structures taking over the church. But it's our relationship with Christ. And even when we as brothers and sisters with one another, we relate. I don't relate to Chris. I relate to Christ in him. I'm here to serve Christ in him. It's selfish of me to try and build relationship directly with Chris for my so that I can feel filled, that I feel I have friends. And the same with small group. We don't have small group for our preferences so that we can have a little community where we can have our little whatever we want and feel safe. We're serving Christ in them. We're connecting with Christ in them. And that is when Jesus is building his church. And it says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's Christ in us that is indestructible. It's not us that is strong. It's not our focus. It's not on us to be great or do things on our own strength. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. See, Jesus gives his authority to the church, to the group of believers who lives out of that revelation of who he is. But it comes from that place of not of the flesh, but from the spirit. Again, who is Jesus to you? Not only for you, but for your small group. Who is Jesus to your small group? Who is Jesus to your family? Because that would determine the outcome. When the enemy comes, see, Matthew 7 says that as we build on the rock, as we do the word and we build on the rock, the storms of life will come and they will not wash the house away. But if we build on the sand, not on the revelations of Jesus, but on other things, then the storms of his life will wash it away. So it comes back to looking to Jesus and who he is. And we see that that's the authority given to the church. So for us that this morning, for us when we think of church, we do not only think of this gathering, or if you think of small group, it's the revelation of Jesus that brings us together. That I would like the band to come up this morning. Maybe if I can ask Sir Robert if he can switch the lights. And just as we can just stand, please. I just want to create space where there's areas in our lives where that's not built on the revelation of who Jesus is, or where, whether it's our businesses, our relationships, our small groups, where our preferences, our things, our flesh and blood is giving the direction of where things should go and not the revelations of who Jesus is, not the Father in heaven who made and gave us all these things graciously. I just want to create a space for us to respond to that. And that is you, just to bring this to the Lord as that story of a prodigal son running to the Father. He's standing up with open arms, but let us not let these things distract us from seeing who Jesus is as a church. So just as we do that, just to invite, if I can have some facilitators at the front, just to pray. And then I also want to create the space, if there's anyone here that you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You've seen him as a teacher. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've always thought that he is the right guy to try and please, but you've never surrendered your life to him and accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. To create space just for us to respond to that and to come to him. So that is you. I just want you to raise your hand as acknowledgement to the Father. You can just raise your hand. And with that, as we go into a song of worship, if you can just come to the front and just, if the Holy Spirit just stirred anything in your heart in this, just to come and agree with someone in the front and pray through that. And maybe